The writers on Is Good, killradio.org. Are there certain themes that you find yourself continually coming back to when you sit down to write a song?
It depends, honestly. There was a time, it was funny, when my brother was in the band, he and I both wrote, and he had a tendency to bring a lot of like brokenhearted love songs, as I like to call them, to the table. Great songs, but it seemed like we were doing a lot of those. And because I went through a whole period where I was doing that too, and I was like, okay, we have this whole pile of brokenhearted love songs. We're the triumphant, anthemic, you know, like take over the world songs, you know, or political songs or something, you know. And I think there was a time where things were just kind of shaky for me. Not just in like my personal life, but I mean that with like relationships and such, but also just stability wise. Like I was having a lot of problems. Like my dad was unfortunately, you know, let go from his job like a month after my brother and I had this huge fire and lost all of our belongings. Like,
oh man!
Which was a month after I graduated from college. So there was just a lot of things went wrong, and I could do one of a couple of things. I could sit there and just piss and moan about it, you know, but that wasn't really
that's what I would have done.
there were a few days that I was there pissing and moaning away, and it's great because, you know, misery loves company, and when a fire happens, you know, it happened to both my brother and I, so we were just like, what the hell? And you know, it was either okay, I can be defeated at this rate, or I can just keep going. And then my dad lost his job, and I was living at home at the time for like a month trying to settle with insurance about the fire. I was like, oh my God, my dad lost his job. I was like, I can't mooch off my parents. Like, right. I gotta go. So I left, and I spent some time in Texas, and then I moved out to L.A. The fire happened on the first trip out to L.A., which is why I was a little afraid to move out to L.A. the second time.
Like, it was bad luck.
Yeah, it was an omen. I was like, what the hell? And so I gravitated towards like the why me for a little while there in my writing. And I think we can all relate to that. And, you know, I was having some relationship issues. So I wrote a lot of like, what the hell is going on in this relationship? What's wrong with you kind of songs.
It's interesting. You should come up with a list of different kinds of rock songs. Why me songs, what the hell songs. Let's do it songs.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's the thing, and I've got all of them, I think, at this rate. You know, I've got the political songs, or, you know, I'm not heavy into politics, you know, but I've gotten more and more interested as I've gotten older, and there's certain things I don't agree with, and, you know, I express those in a few songs. You know, just a general shape of the way people are, like how everyone's glued to a television or glued to a computer. No offense.
Yeah, well, they're not glued to the computer because they're listening to nonprofit internet radio.
Exactly. You know,
it's MySpace.
It's all media. It's all media, yeah. And it's just a lot of you know, just general observational kind of songs that I find that stuff interesting. You know, it's something I always liked about Dylan or Springsteen. You know, and other folk writers, even going back further than like a Guthrie or a Pete Seeger. I find that stuff fascinating. You know, why is everyone glued to this? You know, don't they realize that there's a whole world out there? So I've got those songs. You know, I've got love songs. You know, I've recently started writing on the piano more than I ever had before, and for some reason, like, love songs come out very easily on a piano when it's just you and a piano. Not so easily on the guitar. And then, of course, there was the...
It's hard to write death metal on a piano.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't work. And then there was the, you know, when's the other shoe going to fall? Because everything was going so well, and I was freaked out. You know, something's going to go wrong. Like, the studio is going to burn down, and we're going to lose everything did, you know? Like, that was in my head, you know? I didn't know what to think. And especially like after all the weird things that have happened, you know, and I was like, okay, so I wrote this song. Like I said, it was called In Pieces, and I wish I'd brought a copy. And it was just all about like, you know, oh my God, these dreams are finally being realized. You know, someone believes in me enough, you know, believes in us as a band, you know, because it's not just me. It's definitely a band. You know, I wouldn't be here without Jimmy and Laval and Kevin, you know, Kevin, who's our new piano player. And I certainly wouldn't be here with Bill and Richie, you know, or my parents and all those people that just get behind you from the beginning. And Rami, of course, was great. But it was just a matter of finding different themes to write about, because who wants to hear the same old song? Like, granted, you know, I learned this in college when I was studying music and music industry. They said 90% of all songs are love songs. Huh. I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. It's like, what? And you go and you listen to it. Even the metal songs, like, it's in there. It might not be singing about how great it is, but, you know, they're like that crazy bitch, you know, like, or whatever.
I love her. Now she's dead.
Yeah. Like, because I killed her, you know. And even rap stars, you know, their hoes are their loves, you know. Yeah. That's how it is. And, you know, and I just, I wanted to write about something different. So I,
it's gotta be because one of those, it's gotta be because love is one of those things that you can't really define with just regular conversation, regular text. And, you know, that's why poetry is also, you know, poetry and music.
And I love poetry, and I look at songs as poetry, you know, and not just mine, but, you know, stuff that I like. You know, I want to be able, my thing growing up is I wanted to be able to have the words mean something and then have the music mean something. And if you put them together, it means one thing that's even better.
Right.
You know, I wanted to be a musician on one standpoint, and I wanted to be a writer on another standpoint. And then you put those together and it defines like a real songwriter. You know, and that's what I aspire to be as a person.
What generally comes for you first when you sit down to do a writer's song? Does it start with lyrics in your head, or does it start with a tune?
It varies, because musically, like, we'll have little jam sessions. We've all played music for a long time, and we all know how to play. I mean that literally. You know, we studied music in college for three of us, and then Jimmy, our drummer, is just amazing. He's just like one of those Keith Moon kind of guys. John Bonham is just killer. Like, you can't beat him. Zach Starkey, just a natural talent. And the rest of us had to learn it in college. Yeah, so we'll have little jam sessions. We'll come up with little riffs here and there, little beats that we like and that kind of thing. And I'll kind of get stuck in my head. Or, you know, somebody else will come up with a few words and just like, you know, and they'll bring it to me. I guess I am kind of the focal writer, but I write with everybody in the band. I've written with Jimmy. I've written with previous members of the band. I've written with people that aren't in the band.
Do you ever bring a song to the band and they go, you know what, this really isn't the writers?
Oh yeah, that's happened more often than not.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah, we did a few songs, you know, a couple of years ago that I was just pushing, like, oh, it's a great song, and it's like, doesn't really fit the vibe, man. And it's like, okay, yeah, I can see it. And then there are a few songs that we did that other guys had brought in that didn't really fit the vibe, and I would mention it too. And, you know, it's not like you gang up, but it's for the collective good. You know, you want to be able to not pigeonhole yourself, because I don't think we pigeonholed ourselves on the record, because you've got everything from like a reggae, you know, skank beat song there to like a funk. You've got like straight ahead rock. You got a piano ballad. You got love songs. You got the whole nine yards on there, straight ahead rock, whatever. But it's all us when you boil it down. And and some of the songs were us, but weren't right for the record. So the whole record is actually, it's very much that. It's an album, you know, from start to finish.
And that's really a lost art form. I was discussing this with a previous guest on the show, that sort of the lost art of the album. Because of the iTunes generation, people are downloading one song at a time, and nobody really sits anymore. Well, not nobody, people, less and less people are sitting down and actually listening to a CD or a record, like, from top to bottom.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm the worst in this. I have 10,000 songs on my iPod, and I have it on shuffle all the time.
Oh, I'm the same way.
You know what I mean? But it used to be, before the iPod, all I had were all my albums, all my CDs, and I would listen to a CD from beginning to end, and it was something about the way the fourth song followed the third song.
Oh, yeah.
That made all of the songs make more sense.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, I'm a big Count and Crows fan, and they still make great albums, I think. And like Springsteen, I used a couple of albums as kind of prototypes for what I wanted to do with 200 Miles from Everywhere, and I very much looked at August and Everything After, because I think that's a great album, start to finish, and it's a great story. Like, it's A to B, you know, and that's what a record should be, you know, and then all the crap that happens between those two points, like a Born to Run, all the crap that happens between those two points, you know. I think I looked at some great albums over the past 30, 40 years and tried to use, not like a formula, but something to tell a story, because the songs on the record are not in chronological order, which you would think would make more sense, but really doesn't if you take away all the other songs that we've done,
right?
You know, because we've got, you know, I don't know, like upwards of 30 original tunes, you know, that we've done as a band over time. So it was, okay, these 12 are going to work. Why? And some of them were songs that we hadn't even played as a band before when we went in to do rehearsals. It's like, this is going to work, and here's why. You know, just like, here's my, like, get on board, basically. And, yeah, so that was just, you know, I want to start someday soon was the reason why, you know, I got into music, why I moved to LA, and I thought it was a great starting point. Kalanga was like, oh my God, everything just went wrong. You know, and then Toby's song is Observation, fourth song is Falling in Love, fifth song is Being Unsure About the Love, sixth song is like Missing the Love, seventh song is, you know, and it just goes right on. And I think it's a, you know, I'm 25 and this is like the past 6 years of my life. You know, like the earliest thing on here was a guitar riff that I came up with when I was about, you know, 19. So 6 years. So yeah, it was very much an album idea.
Before, I don't want us to run out of time without getting at least two more live songs out of you. Okay. You ready to jump into another one?
Yeah, definitely. Let me just took off a capo. Okay, good enough.
And then you know, and then we'll play another track from the CD, and great, then we'll do another live song at the
end.
Okay,
great. Let's. I'm gonna do Someday Soon, since I was just talking about that.
Cool.
This is the first track off the record, and this is one of the earliest things I wrote on the guitar, and later just put words to it because I love the guitar. I need words for this.
My guest is Tom Cusimano of the Riders. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
All your things, it's time to get moving. And kiss all your lovers, it's time for goodbye. And tell them you want to look for you someday soon. Out on the road, you'll find new things. Feel the world. Just open your eyes, child, and you'll be fine. And remember, every day I'll be around. So hop in that car, yeah, west to your new home. We'll pack all your things, it's time to get moving. And kiss all your lovers, it's time for goodbye. Tell everyone to look for you someday soon. Someday soon, you'll see me there. Somewhere it's true, I can feel the air. Someday soon, there'll be no more tears. Someday soon, we'll be, and we'll be, and we'll be there.
A lot of what makes for a good show is what bands you're playing with. You know, I've heard some horror stories from bands where it's like, you know, they're a synth pop act and they're having to follow some hardcore thrash metal or something. Right. And, you know, the audience just isn't there for them. I'm just wondering, what are some of your thoughts and concerns about fitting in the LA music scene? Because more likely than not, you're going to be playing alongside a lot of indie rock and indie folk bands that maybe have a different edge than you.
Yeah. Oh, it's a trip, to be honest with you. We've played with everybody. We played shows with this band called The Dares, which is like teenage pop rock, and they had it like 100 screaming teenage girls there, and it was so bizarre, you know, because we're like 10 years older than these people.
Were you able to sort of drag their audience
in? You grab them, you know, any way you can. You know, you make eye contact big. You don't sit up there with your eyes shut. Not that we sit, but yeah, you make eye contact. You make it relatable. You know, you don't babble a lot like I am right now. You're there for the music. That's the point. And you gotta sell it in a way. You know, there's no other word for it. You really gotta take it to them. You know, it's part circus up there. You know, and people want to go to the circus. You know, they want to see the act. They want to see people having a good time. They want to laugh. They want to cry. They want to do all that stuff right along with you. And it's comforting too, because I think these are songs that people relate to. And the music is something that's a traditional style that I don't think will ever go away. I think we'll always listen to classic rock, so to speak. You know, I like to just say rock and roll. But you know, you do have to genre specify at points and it is what it is. And it works with metal bands, because you know what? Metal bands like Black Sabbath, and Black Sabbath fans like AC/DC, and AC/DC fans usually like, you know, Jimi Hendrix, and Hendrix fans like this, and you just have to identify with that part of the music that you share. You know, they may only like one or two songs, but, you know, they might, you know, like the song that the B3 is ripping on because they're an old fan of Born to Be Wild or something, which is like the foreground of heavy metal, you know, or they might like, you know, my clean tone guitar solo on one song, or because they're a country fan, or they might like, you know, the heavier distorted tone I use on another song because they like metal, you know. You never know. We kind of run the gamut, you know. We kind of hit funk a little bit of reggae. So I know on Saturday we're playing with like a reggae, like a Sublime type band. Pretty cool band, you know. I checked out their MySpace, and I think it'll work just fine. You know, we got a tune that ties right into them. I think it'll relate to everybody really well. So it's just kind of being able to, like I said, you know, being able to relate and quote unquote sell it. You know.
Well, cool. Let's play another track from the CD so people can get a taste of what they're getting into when they run to Amoeba to buy it right after listening to this. What do you recommend?
I let's go with Kalanga, which is where we pulled the title from.
I'm glad to hear you call it Kalanga, because I've been calling it Koalinga.
Koalinga, yeah.
Right, which has bizarre sexual undertones, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. It is interesting, because everybody says it that way, and when I was up there, stuck there for 2 days, everyone said Kalanga. So that's how I wrote it, and then I came back to L.A., and everybody's like, oh, Koalinga? I was like, no, the locals call it Kalanga.
At least not Koalingas. So this is the second track, Kalanga, on the Rider CD, 200 Miles from Everywhere. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
There's a town on the edge of a desert, with a few more tips in a restaurant, filling station, a price cash out. Found myself there in a bit of a hot spot. Everywhere. What? time spent. And he says, son, it'll be alright. Just a little detour on this road of life. Don't take so far, so fast. Just take a look around and everywhere. In Kalinga.
Back with the Riders on Is Good on killradio.org. Before we run out of time, I want to ask you about, well, first to remind the audience again that you have this huge CD release party coming up this Saturday at the Mint.
Yep, Saturday.
Which is a very cool venue.
Yeah, I love the Mint. Jackson Brown plays there, Bonnie Raitt. You get a lot of old jazz, cool guys in there. Dylan's played there, Wallflowers, all sorts of people.
And where can people get more information on the Riders?
You can either do MySpace, which is just / the Riders, or we have a, and it's spelled normally. It's not like Rider Truck. It's just Therider's. Everybody's like, Rider, like the truck? Like, no, I think we'd get sued for that. And then we have a regular website, which is theridersmusic.com. So that's our actual, you know, HTTP or whatever you call it.
Okay, so what is the plan after this CD release party to continue to promote the album and your work? You have gigs lined up or what?
As of right now, we're looking in 07, just because the holidays is a really hard time to do things, especially, I mean, for anybody, like not just especially in LA. But it's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do a lot in the next month and a half after the show. So we're going to actually bring in a couple new songs, just get, you know, more familiar so our live show can be longer if need be, because we can play like hour and a half at this point. But, you know, you never know who's going to want us to play a party, you know,
right,
frat gig or whatever. And then after that, in 07, working, you know, I've got some contacts out of town, basically. You know, we'll do a show a month probably in L.A. and various venues depending on what we feel like doing, what we think, you know, people want to see us at. And then, we, you know, we'll go San Francisco. We, you know, we've played up there before. San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, San Diego, Tucson, you know, you name it, we'll be there. Regionally right now, probably doing some weekend warrior kind of stuff, because we all work too. But then, you know, we're really trying to turn it over to a full-time gig, you know.
And so are you already tinkering with the idea of another album after this?
I've already got like 8 songs picked out. Yeah.
Already 8 songs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Different theme altogether. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's not so much like the love and growing up kind of thing. It's more of, which I think people can relate to. It's more of just what happens next, you know? So it's like, what happened after Garden State? Did they stay together? You know?
Well, if you could do us the favor of one more live song before we have to go,
sure,
that'd be appreciated. What do you got?
I'm going to do Annie Charade, which is more of our funk number, I guess you would call it. So yeah, don't do this one acoustic too often. So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Chanani in a masquerade. Shadow distance between 2 years a day. The party's over and the bill has been paid. Try on out the sweet Annie Cherie. And Captain screams as a cold wind blows through this town. Dovey sang, could never find, never find the ground. Boxes full of dreams, Midwest Chevy, I'm bound to come true. The ash keeps falling since the city's on fire, and it's with the vision of this parking lot pyre. Stripped in the distance, but never ashamed, slipped out of dress to dance with the flame. Cabin screams, cold wind that blows through this town. Dovey sang, could never find, never find the ground. Boxes for a dream, Midwest shell view downtown. The country, who could ask for nothing more to be true? Through a song. Of a scent of a girl flowing through you, dragging a vision of a perfect world. Tear us apart to nothing new. And it might change, and the trip may never end. We're stuck in this box, got life, no place to begin. Moving twist through the shadow of fire, throwing the distance between day and night. The captain screams as a cold wind that blows through this town. Dovey sank, could never find, never find the ground. Boxes full of dreams, Midwest Chevy down, down the country. Who could ask? To be true, dragging a vision of a perfect world, tears apart to nothing.
Tom, thanks so much for coming in, sharing your music with us.
No problem.
It's good.
Thanks for having me.
And once again, everyone should go check out The Mint this Saturday for your CD release party.
8:30 p.m.
And remind us once again where people can get this album.
The album is available at Amoeba Music here in Hollywood, and it's also available on iTunes. It's available on cdbaby.com, so you have your choices. You can get it mailed to you, you can download it, or you can go shop for it.
Yeah. Right on. Well, let's leave us with one more track from your CD. What should I play?
It's Too Far Away Tonight. It's just a nice little ballad, track 6.
All right. Best of luck to you, and also check out myspace.com/thewriters and thewritersmusic.com. Is that right?
Right on.
All right. Take care, man.
Take care. Thanks. Zalika! This dark night makes me wonder about you. Something in the way they shine in you just reminds me all about you. As I dream of all the places and the memories we will know. As I look up, I can't wonder what if I'd never known. What if I'd never known? But I'm fine, oh I'm fine. Hadn't felt this way in such a long time. Oh I'm fine, oh so fine. Hadn't felt this way in such a long, lonely time. In such a long, lonely time. But you miss me from my arms tonight.
witty against her, I can hold you so tight. You're still in my thoughts, that's right. Couldn't go away unless you're clearing my sight tonight. Now I'm thinking of you, darling, that's a matter of fact. And all the things we'll share, the next kiss that we'll have. Now I'm telling you, babe, it's gonna be alright. You're just a little too far away tonight. You're just a little too far away tonight. You're just a little too far away tonight. You miss from my arms tonight. Can't wait till you again so I can hold you so tight. You're still in my thoughts, that's right. Couldn't go away unless you clear my sight tonight. Now I'm thinking of you, darling, that's a matter of fact. And all the things we'll share, the next kiss that we'll have. Now I'm telling you, babe, it's gonna be alright. You're just a little too far away tonight. You're just a little too far away tonight. You're just a little too far away tonight.